Hi everyone, Sinmin here. This video is brought to you by a donation from Red Pill Mentor Tokyo, and he wants me to review his book called Manipulation 201, Self-Preservation for a Dark Triad World. It's a psychology book about 180 pages long teaching you how to protect yourself from manipulators. They usually want money or validation from you, or just get off on treating people poorly. Oftentimes they're narcissists, psychopaths, and Machiavellians. Red Pill Mentor, or RPM for short, starts things off by discussing hypotheticals and saying the manipulators will oftentimes test you with what-if scenarios to see how you'll respond. He uses the example of a Japanese woman asking a white man that she wants to date her and asking him about why a Japanese guy would keep talking to a woman without bringing up the possibility of dating. What she's really doing is asking him without asking him. In this case, the white dude tells her maybe the Japanese guy finds her attractive, but has no interest in dating her. So then the Japanese woman ghosts the guy because she got the answer in a sneaky way. She manipulated him in a covert way into answering her question. The last woman I dated, I told her about a friend of mine buying cryptocurrency to protect himself from getting taken to the cleaners in a divorce. She instantly suspected that my friend was actually me and blew up and became cold and evil. I just coaxed out of her that she was greedy and a gold digger. At that point, she knew she wasn't going to have access to my money, so the relationship just soured. So sometimes manipulation is a good thing if you want to assess someone's intentions they might be potentially using and abusing you. I wish that RPM mentioned that particular point. He goes on to say that you have to pay attention to manipulators' body language. He's also on the spectrum, much like myself, and that makes it hard to pay attention to people's unconscious body language. This then makes it easier for manipulators to go to work on you because you don't make eye contact with them, and therefore don't see the subtle cues that they give off and that they're trying to trick you. For them, they see a person looks away from them as submissive and therefore a target. But this is to your advantage, which RPM points out, because if you're strong, you appear weak to them, and that invites attack from others, but it also allows you to see who's really on your side. For average people that aren't manipulators, talking to someone on the spectrum without much body language is daunting, because they don't have enough information to judge your emotions accurately. The subconscious tries to figure out what people feel about something, while the conscious tries to figure out what people think about it. You need both of them to get a complete picture. RPM also observes that uncertainty is associated with someone that uses a higher intonation towards the end of every word or statement. That makes me realize that the reason I probably up-talk at the end of each sentence is to appear weaker than I really am, so I don't appear to be as big of a threat. Remember, I started speaking like this about a year or two after starting my channel, when it started taking off and I never knew why. I probably did this unconsciously to invite attacks, but also to appear weak and not threatening. Manipulators, on the other hand, will speak slowly and drop the pitch of their sentences to appear wise and sure of themselves. Only people on the spectrum can really understand what's going on because we've had to consciously learn body language and behavior. RPM says that some manipulators can hardly contain the smirk on their faces when they dupe you. There's so much detailed thought in this book, and I'm only about 10% of the way through at this point. It's rare that I read something that makes me think this much about my own motivations, but that's what happens when a cerebral autistic person writes a book. He continues by saying that if you speed up your social interactions with a manipulator, they'll have a harder time not smirking and giving away their game. But if you're on the spectrum and speed up those social interactions, you also might have trouble processing too many social cues and nonverbal information consciously. He also says that women will open up about their weaknesses and vulnerabilities to elicit compassion from you, which I also agree with, and draw you in so you become emotionally entangled with them. He also brings this idea up over and over again about abusers smirking at you and giving their attentions away that way. One time I was being bullied by a woman at a job, and I quit that job to make her satisfaction go away. Once she knew I was done and was going to leave, the smirk disappeared instantly, and suddenly she appeared to feel bad. Not necessarily for what she had done to me, but for herself because she couldn't do it again. I would rather be unemployed than deal with abuse. Most people would stay and take the abuse. Next, he discusses people that are clingers. If you help them just once, then they feel there's an unspoken contract that you're going to help them out again when they ask for it. But if you become hesitant of helping them in the future, they might say things like, you should feel good knowing someone trusts you enough to come to you for advice. Basically, the manipulator is trying to make you feel that they're doing you a favor by asking you for help. Next, RPM discusses why women want closure in relationships. and that's so you can edumacate her about any weak points in her manipulation tactics, so that the next guy she gets together with stands less of a chance from escaping from her cooch clutches. This observation is absolutely brilliant. But at the same time, women never tell men what we did wrong in a relationship, to make sure that women we date in the future have the advantage. She wants you to educate her so she becomes a better manipulator, while keeping you ignorant about what you might have done wrong in the relationship, which you might be able to fix so you have a better chance in the next one. Clearly, it shows a total lack of empathy. That women see men as real-time strategy-based video games, where the goal is to manipulate and dominate you. From my experience, they do this slowly at first and then quicker and quicker, the longer you're together, and you start lowering your guard. Another manipulation technique is when someone calls you out of the blue and rekindles a friendship, according to RPM, because they want something from you but they won't come out and say it immediately, because that'll make it obvious and push you away from them. The idea is to ask you later and make it appear as though what they're asking for is just a coincidence, and not the real reason they contacted you to begin with. RPM also brings up an interesting study where women are asked which men they found the most attractive. Was it those men that liked them the most, those men that liked them on an average extent, or those that were uncertain about liking them? The men that were uncertain about them were the ones that drove them mad, and they thought about those guys all the time. Basically, women don't like thirsty men, and want men that can take them or leave them at any time. Also, a high-value man has options, so therefore he's going to be picky. The next small section of the book is called The Appraisal Shop, and he shares a personal story about his days in college when women asked him to go to a club with them. What they were trying to do was get him into an environment where they could see what other women thought of him so they could gauge his value in the sexual marketplace in real time. If other women wanted him, then they would also want him too. It's all about social proof. Another great observation is that women take their male partners to gay bars to see if the guy's willing to be put in an uncomfortable environment for the sake of making her happy. It shows that he's emotionally invested. Very good observation yet again. What I really have to give credit to RPM for is his observation of women's quiet little smirk when you learn about the true intentions about their behavior and question them about it. That gives away their actions and intentions as being manipulative and in their own self-interests. I mentioned this before, but he's the only other person I've heard that's actually talked about this observation. I think it's something those mostly on the spectrum observe because we see it consciously. RPM, you also say that before the internet and social media, we would need to mouth off in society or objective reality and gauge people's responses to our words and actions. And that was the primary way we understood the world. And it was in that verbal world that women dominated and manipulated us. But now with things like Tinder, the chads use online hookup culture to manipulate women, so that they'll be with them. These men, like many women these days, have dark triad traits. But for long-term mating, women manipulate the long-term simps for a supply of sadistic entertainment. Very much what Jordan Peterson said with regards to there being a lot of pleasure to be had in the short-term domination of men by women, referring to women in the workplace. At this point, about a fifth of the way through the book, you bring up lover bots. Women say they're worried men will objectify them with robots, which is a dumb argument, because women are already guilty of objectifying themselves way more than men ever could. You also mentioned that women will use the term generalization when we say things about female nature. They want to say that not all women are the same, but we know that for the most part, the female collective is dependent on all women's collective opinion. Your example of women taking you out to that nightclub to get feedback from other women is a prime example of that. I think that's about where I'll stop, which is about a quarter of the way through your book. Not because it's bad, but because it's in the top 5% of books that I've reviewed. Maybe even in the top 1 or 2%, to be honest. Most books I review, I have to read about 80 to 90% of the way through and hunt for interesting and valid points to share with everyone. Yours has 4 times as many great thought-provoking points to ponder as the average 200-page book, and I don't want to spoil the rest for everyone. So I suggest they pick up a copy at the sponsor link below, which is at the top of the description. Anyways, that's it for today. Thanks again to Red Pill Mentor Tokyo for the book review, donation, and topic. The book is only $12 on paperback. Don't forget to smash the like button the way that women will probably try and smash the printing presses, because this thing gives away most of their secrets. Bang the bell and check out the mystery link. Follow me on BitChute, Twitter, and Facebook to get tomorrow's video today. Subscribe to me on Minds, Odyssey, MGTOW.TV, and Rumble to get the video for the day after tomorrow. This channel's been demonetized, and if you want to help me keep making content, then please support me through Subscribestar. There's a link to it in the description. or you can do an hour-long coaching chat with the Sandman for $45, and I won't rush you out the door like a cheap whore. Thanks for taking your daily dose of red pills, and remember, a red pill a day keeps the women that manipulate you and have dark triad qualities away. So enjoy the rest of your day, and cheers.